Plenty of time for us to talk college football with the nation's premier expert, Phil Steele of philsteele.com and ESPN, back with us here on Downtown. Phil, how are you doing?
Doing good. Summer's almost over, though.
It is indeed. And I would say the busy time begins, but for you, the busy time never ends. How many states have you covered now with your appearance here with us?
Well, this one, I think, makes it 47 or 48. So we're close to covering all 50. So I appreciate you getting me in Maine and really enjoyed doing the show with you yearly a couple of years ago.
Oh, that was great. Absolutely. That was the most intense 30 minutes of the week. Well, you've been busy as well, not just your college football preview and the pro preview, but you've also added a wonderful FCS preview.
Yeah, the FCS is, we've got that up on Phil Steele Plus this year. Last year, we actually printed an FCS preview. Didn't get a lot of action on that. So this year, we just went with the website, philsteele.com. You can get it.
Well, let's talk about the FBS first. And obviously, the conversation begins with Alabama and Clemson. Are we likely to see them again in the national title game?
Yeah, I think when you take a look at those two teams, you know, they look like they're headed for a rematch in the national championship. When you look at Alabama, they're probably going to be at least a double-digit favorite in every single game this year. An improved defense. They have six returning starters on D coming back as opposed to just three last year, and one of the most explosive offenses in the country. And with Clemson, they're going to be a 17-plus favorite in every single game this year. The closest one looks to be Texas A&M, where they're favored by 17.5. But if you're looking for a possible chance of those teams not getting to the championship game, I'll go back and point out the fact that Georgia, the last 2 years, has lost both games against Alabama, but in the two games combined, trailed by just 1:04. And Georgia's an even better team this year. And with Clemson, remember last year, they actually trailed Syracuse by 2 scores in the fourth quarter, needed the score with late in the game after their third-string quarterback converted a 4th-and-10 pass to keep the final drive alive. Had they lost to Syracuse, they would have tied for the division title last year, and Syracuse would have been in the ACC title game. Clemson might even have missed the playoffs. So any chance, or there's a good possibility that they won't get there, but it sure looks like that's what we're headed for.
Who else do you like to get into that Final Four college football playoff?
You know, I have to go with Georgia, which I mentioned I think is an even better team than they were last year, and then Michigan this year. And I'm not one of those guys that's been jumping up and screaming Michigan the last couple of years. In fact, I picked Ohio State higher than Michigan 11 straight years. This is the first time I'm calling for Michigan over Ohio State in 12 years. And I was right in 10 of those 11 years. But with Michigan, I love their defensive line coming back, their entire defense coming back, 5 starters back there. Offensively, Josh Gattis brings the spread option, which is the perfect fit for Shea Patterson this year. And when you look at Michigan's schedule, they get Michigan State at home, they get Notre Dame at home, they get Ohio State at home. I've actually got Michigan running the table and making the playoff this year.
You mentioned Ohio State, and we take a little New England and FCS football pride to see former New Hampshire Wildcat Ryan Day in there as head coach.
Yeah, and he's got a pretty good situation here in the fact that he got in 3 games of head coaching last year. They should have an improved defense with 9 starters back. They'll have an improved run game with Justin Fields at QB. And when you look at their schedule, they'll be favored in their first 11 games this year. So Ryan Day should get off to a pretty good start of his coaching career. And all they need to do is go into Ann Arbor and beat Michigan, and then once again Ohio State would be repeating as the Big Ten champ. So that really will probably be the game that decides not only the Big Ten East, but the Big Ten overall.
Once again this year, it seems like the SEC head and shoulders above the rest, at least when it comes to the depth.
Yes, and I think when you look at the top 10 teams in the country, I believe I have 6 of them are rated in the SEC. Teams like Auburn and Texas A&M would be higher in my rankings, but they play brutal schedules. So the SEC is loaded once again this year. I put it the SEC 1 and the Big Ten 2 this year, but there is a little bit of a gap.
Who do you like as a dark horse to get into the playoff?
Well, last year, my number one surprise team, Rich, was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and they were not top 10 at the start of the year, but ended up making the playoff. This year, it's the Utah Utes, and what I like about Utah, You got my number one rated defensive line in the entire country this year. Bradley and Ney, Penasini, Fotu. They go about 11 deep on the D-line of Sac Lake City. They also have an excellent shutdown cornerback. And then you look at them offensively. Last year they lost their quarterback and star running back, Zach Moss, both with injury, with five games to go in the season. And yet they still made it to the Pac-12 title game, still nearly beat Washington in that game. Those two guys are both back this year. And when you look at Utah's schedule, it gets lighter. Last year they had to play the top four teams out of the North. This year, Oregon drops off the schedule. Stanford drops off the schedule. Toughest two road games are against a rebuilding Washington and a USC team that they had a 27-10 first down edge on last year. I think Utah is an excellent shot to run the table, and they are my number one surprise team in the country this year.
We're talking with Phil Steele. Check out his website. It's to get everything you need to know at philsteele.com. Well, we're already underway with games last weekend, including a nice start to the season for the Florida Gators in that 4-point win over Miami.
Yeah, and as expected, a defensive struggle, two outstanding defenses, two young offensive lines, and came right down to the wire. What a game it was. Florida, a bunch of turnovers, but then Miami also shot itself in the foot, fumbling a punt on their own 11-yard line, setting up a touchdown, giving up a screen pass for a 70-yard TD. So it was a very interesting opening game, and it was great to see football back.
Let's talk about some of the games coming up as we get rolling this Thursday night and start with number one in the country, Clemson, taking on Georgia Tech. What do you think?
Clemson's a big favorite, and they deserve to be a big favorite in this game. Probably Georgia Tech's best thing would be the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, because Clemson likes to play all their players. And the same thing happened last year. Clemson was destroying Georgia Tech, and then they started playing everybody down the stretch. Georgia Tech got a few late scores. But Georgia Tech switching from the option offense to a pro-style offense, yet they have option personnel. The offensive line was built for the option. Now they've got to pick up pro-style passing, and against a Clemson defense, it's going to be nasty. Not quite as nasty as last year, but I still rate their defensive line number five in the country, despite all the players they lose. Also, Clemson has maybe the most explosive offense in the country, led by Trevor Lawrence, my number two set of receivers, and a top 10 offensive line, plus Travis Etienne, a running back. So I've got Clemson winning that one and winning it big.
All right, also on Thursday night, those Utes travel to BYU to take on the Cougars.
Yeah, and it's one of the games where I'm nervous a little bit about this game because it is a rivalry game. BYU did lead last year's game on the road and then gave it up late. But Utah has dominated BYU, and I've talked earlier about how strong I am on Utah this season. So I think they can go into BYU and come out of there with a win, but it's not going to be an easy one.
The only battle of top 20 schools this weekend features Oregon on the road at Auburn. What do you see there?
Yeah, and I think you probably hit it on the head. It's a neutral site game, but basically Auburn's going to have the home edge. But when you look at this matchup, I think Oregon's got a shot. And for the Pac-12's sake, they need to win, because I think if Oregon loses this game, everybody will say same old Pac-12. Oregon's a 3.5-point underdog in this game, and I think they have a shot at winning. I think they're my number one rated offensive line in the entire country. They've got a quarterback in Justin Herbert, who may be the number one quarterback taken in the draft, and Auburn's going to be starting a true freshman quarterback. And Oregon's got some athletes on the defensive side of the ball, like Dyant linebacker up front, Jordan Scott, their big nose tackle, is joined by Kayvon Thibodeau, the number one rated defensive end coming out of high school. So I'm going to take the points in that one with Oregon plus the 3.5, and could be a potential upset game.
Phil, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Is he your favorite to win the Heisman as we start the year?
Yeah, I think you have to put Trevor Lawrence as the favorite. First of all, he's going to be playing on the number one team in the country, which is always helpful for the Heisman Trophy. They should win their games and win them big, and they're going to put up big offensive numbers. I love the way he carved up Alabama's defense at the end of last year, and I'm figuring Clemson goes and is 13-0 at this time when the Heisman vote is taken, and he wins the Heisman this year.
Well, let's move to the FCS ranks for a little bit if we can. Does the championship of that division still run through the Fargo Dome?
You know, you have to put it that way until proven otherwise, but I think there will be some competition this year. James Madison is going to be a threat. When I talked to Coach Mike Houston, who's now the East Carolina head coach, and we discussed James Madison a little bit, he seems to feel that they're going to have the best defense out there in the FCS. So I think they're going to be a clear-cut threat. Eastern Washington looks to be a pretty strong team this year. Wouldn't surprise me if Eastern Washington is a threat as well. But I think you have to always start and finish with North Dakota State. Even though they lose their head coach, they have to be considered the favorites. And, you know, earlier we did discuss the FCS a little bit at the start. But I just thought I'd let you know, we do have an FCS only version of Phil Steele Plus. You can actually go and click on the website, and you get the last 10 years' results at your fingertips. They'll be updated all season long. You get who last year's leaders were, game-by-game stats for all the FCS. And it's just $29. You just go to philsteele.com to sign up for that.
Yeah, it's money well spent right there. Now, the Maine Black Bears, again this year, played two FBS opponents. Can you size up for us those two matchups? Georgia Southern comes in week two, and then in October, the Black Bears travel down to Liberty.
Yeah, and I think both games fall into the winnable category. Now, with Georgia Southern, the main thing you have to do is prepare for the option. But as you know, Maine had a heck of a run defense last year. It gave up just 80 yards per game on the ground, 2.4 yards per carry. So I like that setup with Maine against Georgia Southern, especially playing them early in the year. It means it's spent probably part of the August preparing for the option. So that's a game that Maine can pull out, I think, even though Georgia Southern was a very good team last year. They were my number two most improved team in the country and lived up to that level, going from two wins all the way up to double-digit wins. And with Liberty, that's another team where they've got a brand-new head coach in Hugh Freeze. And you look at Liberty this year, they're going to have they have 15 returning starters coming back, including Stephen Calvert, who's a senior at the quarterback position. But Liberty's going through the coaching change. Hugh Freeze did miss a good portion of the August. He was in the hospital. Luckily, he's out now, thank goodness, and should be on the sidelines when that game rolls around. But I give Maine a shot in both games against those FBS foes.
And finally, in FCS football, the news that came out last night about New Hampshire coach Sean McDonald, who has had such a wonderful career there, on an indefinite leave of absence due to some medical issues. Boy, nobody has put together a record of consistency in the FCS like Coach Mack.
Yeah, and that's sad to see. I hope he gets back on the sidelines pretty soon. You know, last year didn't start out well for New Hampshire. You look at their first four games last year, they averaged about 200 yards per game, but they got a lot better as the season went on, and I thought they had some promise coming into the season. So hopefully he'll be back on the sidelines this year.
Well, everybody should go to philsteele.com, get more information, subscribe, because anything you want to know about college football, you will find there. There is no better source. Phil, it is so great to talk with you again. Thank you so much for making time for us. We'll be following, and be sure to have a great season.
Well, I appreciate that, Rich. And once again, it was great talking to you again, and hopefully we do this a little bit more often. I appreciate you having me on in Maine.
Love it. Phil Steele back with us here on Downtown.